we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, good evening, everyone. I'll call the Alloway Village Board meeting of Tuesday, September 15th to order. Roll call, Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Atwood.
Here.
Trustee Rafter.
Here.
President Gast is here. Trustee Dart.
Here.
Trustee Green.
Here.
Trustee Dennis.
Here.
All present and accounted for. In terms of the agenda, I would propose that we move item 10 up to 4A, the Lorelei Restaurant after public appearances. Any further modifications to the agenda? Otherwise, I'll move to adopt the agenda as modified. Is there a second? Trustee Atwood, any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Adopted agenda, or modified agenda adopted. Any announcements from the board? Staff announcements?
Just a couple of quick things. I wanted to let the board know that we held a volunteer project today down by Sunset Park in the Fox River Trail, some buckthorn removal, and actually a news story on Channel 11 this evening with regards to that. We had some volunteers from Standing Corporation here in town, Friends of the Fox River Trail, Fox Wisconsin Heritage Parkway, Brown County Parks, and then our Parks Department performed some of that buckthorn removal right along the river between Sunset Park and the Triple Walk. So it's a project we're looking to continue over the next several years to try to bring back some native species in there and maybe do a little bit of development in that area with some trails and park benches.
Awesome. How about how many people were involved?
There was probably a good 25 or 30 people that showed up.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
Nice little project. Also, next week, Tuesday evening, we'll be holding a public information gathering session for our outdoor recreation open space plan. That will be here at Village Hall from 5:30 to 6:30 next Tuesday.
Thank you, Chris. Any other staff announcements? Mr. Burke.
Just a quick note on the storm event of last weekend. Local rain gauges reported in Alloway between 3.5 and 4.25 inches of rainfall on that storm event we had last Monday. Noteworthy that we did not experience any sanitary sewer bypassing or home basement backups in that storm event, which is this is a milestone for us because that's, in essence, a 100-year frequency of current storm. Mm-hmm. And 10 years ago, this would not have been the case. We had things to deal with. So we've made some progress. And it's just nice to be able to say that and to everybody for being involved in everything that we've done over the years to get to where we are today.
Thank you, Craig. You were going to write, we were going to put that someplace. I know we discussed it at Public Works. Was it going to be on the website or someplace else too?
It was posted
on the Green Bay News Network. Yep.
Way to go, Jimmy Olson. All right, any other staff announcements? Our congratulations to the Public Works Department on that. I mean, that was a very significant event. You know, I know we had water in the basement of my office in Green Bay. So, I mean, it's just outstanding that a lot of the things that the village has done over the last several years are starting to take positive effect because it could have been, you know, a very, very bad event for a lot of people, but we're not well. So, any other announcements? Hearing none, then we'll move to the public appearance section of the agenda. Anyone can speak to us on any subject that you so choose, but we can only take action on those items designated as action items on tonight's agenda. Sir, if you could approach the podium and state your name and address, please.
I will. My name is Chris Hunkel. I live at 602 Beaupre, right down the street. And I came to you guys a couple of months ago right after the Bell and Run, and we were going to discuss options on people who are stuck and can get out. I'm checking this back to see if anything's been done. Is this something I need to put maybe on an agenda issue?
Do we have any update on that? Anybody from staff? I know we did talk about it a couple months ago, and we were going to look into it.
I emailed the Deputy Lochno, is that his name? And he hadn't heard anything either. So.
I can speak somewhat to this issue. I live on Bow Creek Street, but up at the top, and Bellin says they send notices out to everybody, and I believe they think they do. However, I know I did not, and a bunch of my neighbors between here did not. Did you get a notice at the end of the street?
We've been there 7 years. I've never gotten one.
Okay, good. Because I know Administrator Lang is aware of this situation and working on it, so I do expect to see it on a future agenda because it's caused issues with people on Bow Creek Street as well on this end because we're completely cut off from morning till almost afternoon.
7 until about noon, yeah.
Exactly. And we had one gentleman who moved in who actually lost some jobs to his business because he was meant to go be doing bids that morning. So I know Brad Lang is working on it, so I do expect to see it on a future agenda.
Do we have an idea when or working on it, what that means?
Within the next 2 to 3 months, I would expect, well in time for the next Bellin run next year because we do work with them on that in...
Well, sending out notices saying they're going to close the road is not the same as making arrangements for us to be able to get out.
This is true. Yeah. And he's working on that because we've also had issues in the past with ambulances being able to get through runners to portions of the roads that are cut off.
Right.
So I know it's being worked on multiple fronts. So, yeah, definitely expect to see
We're hopeful
it come back
something's coming down the line.
Well, yeah, because it is a large inconvenience. Don't get me wrong. It's a very good cause.
Absolutely.
But I've lived here since 1998, have yet to receive one of the notices that their company sends out. So it has become a repeated issue for several houses and new residents. So, yes, how do we provide for people getting out on the Libel end ahead of the race starting, and then as soon as they clear on the Webster end to get people out? So I do know he's working that, and he's aware of the situation.
Now would I be wise in emailing you, and we can stay in contact that way?
Definitely.
Yeah. I have elderly parents, and if we need to get an ambulance, then we're going to have an issue. So.
That has been raised, definitely.
Okay, I'm just checking back.
Good, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being diligent.
I will, thank you.
Don't leave.
Mr. O'Rourke.
2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'd just like to encourage all of the residents to send emails to Trevor at the village if they have any concerns or want to have any input on sidewalks and bikeways, because we're going to have 5 meetings coming up over the next 5 or 6 months, and we'd like to hear from the public with regards to what they'd like to see, particularly around the schools, around the business areas, and then down getting across Riverside Drive. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Orr. Any other public comment? Hearing none, I'll close that portion of the agenda. We moved up item number 10, discussion action concerning the Lorelei Restaurant facade and improvement grant application. I put it on the agenda just so that you all know what's transpiring here is the Lorelei applied for both a loan and a grant for parking lot improvements at the Lorelei Restaurant. The grant portion was denied. The loan portion was approved. I think, well, Trevor, what was the loan? The loan, $7,500?
That's correct.
Yeah, and then there was upwards of $10,000 available on the grant portion of it. But that was denied. So the Lorelei asked that we put it on the agenda for board discussion to see if the board wants to grant the grant, I guess. I see that there's a representative of the Lorelei. Perhaps Lenny, if you could come up and maybe tell us a little bit about what you're planning and you know why this is important to you and how you think it benefits the village.
Don't be. Hi, my name is Lynn Stahl and I'm from the Lorelei. And this is the second time we applied for the grant. The first time was in 2012 when it first came up to be. And we were told because it would be used for a parking lot that the grant couldn't cover the lot. I've been told, though, if we put up flower pots on green space, we can get this loan. So to me, it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense on the third most traveled street in Green Bay that a parking lot that would be brand new, brand spanking new, with all new striping, and it would get rid of all the hazards that we have in the parking lot, wouldn't make our building look that much better for everybody that goes past us on Webster Avenue. We've gotten bids that go anywhere from $28,000 to $54,000 to get this done right. And I know since we've owned it in 1983, we've not dug up this parking lot to this extent. We've just put bandages on the whole scenario. But we now have grooves. We have it's a mess. And we are putting in some cement also to handle the waste, the garbage trucks that come and dump recyclables. So I just, you know, we've all talked about it, and we were encouraged to reapply again. But to me, it seems like if I put flower pots on this, I'm only putting a Band-Aid again on a mess. But $10,000 is huge to a small business like us. And that's where we'd like to see if the terminology could be changed, possibly to accommodate something like this for us. And I think that's probably my two cents worth of it. Oh, but I did hear also that they've only given this grant out 3 times. And I think that you would see many more business people would possibly come forward if the terminology could be changed. Because there's many parking lots that are in the same spot as we are in the same area that I think, you know, and what looks better? A nice black parking lot. So that is from us at the Lorelei.
Does the board have any questions of that? Trustee Green.
You mentioned mitigating the hazards.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to reconfigure to do that? Just out of curiosity.
Where the hazard is has nothing to do with reconfiguring anything. It is by our garage where the dumpsters are located, and because of the weight the recycling dumpsters put on that blacktop back there, we have grooves about this big. That part is going to be put into cement between 6 and 8 inches to accommodate that weight.
Okay. Thank you. I haven't seen any plans or what they were as of yet, so that didn't come this far. So okay,
yeah.
Same questions.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Trustee Dart.
I just wanted to talk a little about when we came up with that program, and I think it was we had someone apply for a parking lot too, and it was refused. No, it was Olney checks.
Okay, because we applied also.
And we refused it, and we specifically wrote out parking lots with the idea that really isn't making an improvement. But one of the things I really, really notice is bad parking lots. They are an improvement. I guess one of the things when you talk about a flower pot, I don't think of it so much a flower pot, but like if some green space was added, perhaps then we would consider it. But I wouldn't totally be against us revisiting that. And I think that we can revisit how we wrote that. I think it's up to us, right?
River, am I correct?
Mm-hmm. Well, and actually, I don't think we need to rewrite it at all.
We can just decide what we want to do.
Well, because in the grant eligible items, it does say parking lot improvements to include. And then it goes on to list pedestrian and bicycle accommodations and improved or additional landscaping. I mean, it says to include, so parking lot improvements in the grant section is broader than just pedestrian and bicycle accommodations and landscaping. I mean, in the loan eligible items, it says parking lot improvements only.
Yes.
So when things say they include something, that doesn't exclude other things. So I don't know that we necessarily have to rewrite it.
So we didn't have a rough lawyer write it. Our intent, when it was written. Was different.
But to a small business like us, a $10,000 grant is huge.
Yes.
A huge improvement for us.
Any other questions of Lynn? Otherwise, I'll open up for board discussion. Trustee Rafter.
Do you have any plans to add any kind of greenery or shrubbery? Or
if you look at the Lorelei, there's many spots that are already green.
Right,
we have
right
a small garden in the back that will be adjacent to the parking lot. Mm-hmm. We have a little stone thing that we put flower pots on if they don't get stolen repeatedly. You know, so we do try to do that every step of our way, and I think our front yard looks very nice. We try to keep that up very nice, and that would be adjacent to the parking lot also.
And by our back door, we carry a fresh supply of mint and herbs that we sip for, that we use in the restaurant. So I don't know how much more green space, you know, we really go for. I mean, we're so landlocked on our lot as it is with parking.
Yeah, I guess my only thought would be on the other side of the street. Are you doing both parking lots?
The parking lot on the other side of the street, because we just can't afford it, will be patched as best as we can patch it up, okay, and then restriped. And there is there is stone along that walkway that we keep up all the time, but there again, every time we put flower plots, they get stolen.
Okay.
And smashed. We find them smashed down the road.
Any other board questions?
A thought or comment, and that is that we should continue to look at it, doing what we can to assist or help in whatever way that we can. If we are going to pursue this ideology or thought process of the village itself representing the quintessential European village, what better way to represent that than by adding the Lorelei? And finding the way within the structure of what we have as a village, I think, shows many possibilities that we could pursue to try and help in whatever way we can. Not in the essence of promoting their business as such, because that's their job, but to help us as the village itself in our representation of where we want to be and what goals we have for the future, I think we should continue to look at this and find ways to be able to help them.
Thank you, Trustee Dennis. Any other questions of Lynn? Otherwise, we'll let her sit down.
Oh, I just have one comment from it. When I saw facade improvement on the agenda, I was thinking, I hope they're not changing those green awnings. You know, it was like, why would you change it? It's perfect.
Thank you. Thank you. And like I say, we do try to keep it up as best we can, but vandalism does take a high priority also around that area.
All right. Any other board questions? Trustee Green.
Not much vandalism. I wonder if our night officer can go by there more often. Is it on their radar screen?
We, like it happened again at, last year, and I know my brother reported it to the police. But I don't know. They're always in our parking lot, but I think this has to be happening somewhere. We can lock up at 2 or 2:30, and I can come back in at 6, and somewhere along that line is when it happens.
It's just on the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think we can maybe put a bug in Rick's ear to maybe patrol that area a little bit, you know, during. Why don't we do this? Next time you put something out, give Brad a call and tell him, hey, we just did something, we just put it out there, and then the recommendation at that point would be, if you ain't got nothing there to break, then why do it? But if you do put something out, let Brad, the village administrator, know. And then he can put a bug in Rick's ear. You know, maybe for the next week or so, you might want to just patrol during those hours a little more frequently to see if what's going on.
And we will have a lot of traffic coming into the area with Oktoberfest next Friday and Saturday. So that brings in a lot of people also.
I forgot. That's next, a week from this Friday. And
Saturday. A week from Friday. So then we usually get pumpkins and hay bales and things like that. And invariably, the pumpkins are gone.
Well, if you can put the planters, I'll let Brad know. Any other questions? Trustee Rapp.
My initial thought when I saw this was that maybe if there were going to be other improvements, we could include that in the overall grant. And if not, maybe limit the grant. But I do agree with you. A nice-looking parking lot adds a lot of appeal.
I think it would be a tremendous boost to what people see as they go down Webster Avenue on a daily basis.
Okay, no other questions. You can sit down and we'll talk about it. So
thank you.
So
thank
stay,
you very much.
Stay here because we're going to make a decision.
Okay.
Here's my thoughts. I think, the Lorelei is a wonderful, treasure that the village has. I mean, it brings in a lot of people. I mean, we have the Oktoberfest coming up next weekend. That brings in lots of people. And I think that, a parking lot improvement is something that is important for the aesthetic quality of the community. I think in terms of, what one could say might this open Pandora's box, and everybody wants a new parking lot and wants 10,000. I think there is a slight distinction between grant eligible and loan eligible. I think if people want to come in and get loans to do that pretty much any parking lot improvement would qualify for the loan portion of it. I think the board should have some flexibility in terms of whether or not to grant a grant for a particular location. You know, some properties I think are more deserving of the loan or the grant than other properties. You know, just because of where they are in the village, the kind of traffic that comes in. And, you know, I still love the Lorelei T-shirts that's right on the strip of Alloway. I mean, and that's true. It's right on the strip of Alloway. So I think there's a distinction between the Lorelei and some of the businesses on Webster or perhaps Riverside and some that might be more tucked away and aren't seen as much as some of the, you know, main showcases of the community. I think that the way that the rules are written, I think the board does have discretion because it does talk about parking lot improvements being part of a grant-eligible item. So with that said, I'd make a motion that the village issue a $10,000 grant to the Lorelei for the parking lot improvements at that location. Is there a second? Trustee Dennis. Any other discussion? Trustee Harris.
Do we have the information about the grant in front of us? I didn't see it within my packet.
Well, that's my apologies. I had that run off separately. I mean, we do have the application, or I have the application that they submitted. it looks like in July. And the cost estimates are range between $30,000 and $50,000, according to the application. And they got the $7,500 loan. You know, that has to be repaid. And then I think the other thing, too, is that these proceeds for the facade improvement come out of the tax increment monies and not out of the general fund. That's true for everyone?
Yes. Okay. So would that automatically limit the location of where these can take place?
Yes. So they're only in the TIF district.
Okay, because that's my concern is how do we distinguish what's tucked away and what is not. That I had a couple of businesses that just came to mind and I thought, well, would this one qualify or would it not? Mm-hmm. That's the only reservation I have with this is how do we make that distinction about which would and which wouldn't. It almost seems as if we allow this, then anything within the TIF district would be eligible. I don't know how to make the distinction.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of those things that the board would have to look at on a case by case basis. You know, depending on location, you know, the number of patrons that visit the. I mean, if it's an office building, that's one thing. You know, that would be a factor to consider. I mean, the Lorelei is a restaurant that has quite a bit of traffic and people, you know, coming into their facility. I guess we just have to look at it on a case by case basis. You know, I mean, I don't know that there's any better guidance than that. Trustee Atwood.
Well, to that point, I was going to bring this up previously as well, is if it is at the board's discretion, and it is as it's written right there, I think it's one of the things that we have to employ a little common sense. In the 30 years that I've been in the village, the Lorelei has done a fantastic job in maintaining their property, keeping it up, keeping, you know, the physical structure of the building up and not letting it fall apart. It's not like somebody's walking in here and letting something deteriorate and then asking for something to improve it. I think this is ongoing to maintain the maintenance of their building and the exterior look. So I think it's well within our range. But I think it's important to note that it is at our discretion, and it should be based on that.
I think, yet again, you know, one more valid consideration as we look at future applications, is this a good community citizen? I mean, have they been keeping their property up and just need a little bit of assistance to you know, continue their improvements.
And time in the community, I think, is very important. So,
Trustee Dennis.
We also have to keep in mind what the Lorelei has given back to us over this time in funds and in contributions to our community from their October best plans and programs. And certainly, if we look back over whatever number of years they've been doing that, it has been a significant amount. I'm not going to say it's tens of thousands, but I will say it's been a significant amount. I do have a question. What year was the Lorelei opened initially?
1952.
So there's a possibility, and I wouldn't know this, Mr. O'Rourke would probably have an idea, about whether it was historically of any significance.
It does meet the criteria.
It does. Okay.
And we had talked at another village board meeting about that possibility. Mm-hmm. I had an unfortunate accident, which has prevented me from being around for a little bit.
Okay.
But technically, the building is 1926.
Okay.
that it was first there.
So,
at one point in time, there were housing behind the walls. We found old showers and we found old things back there.
So that's something you might want to pursue in relation to the historic committee and the possibilities of what might be available to you from a federal, certainly from the state level. I don't know. I'm not familiar with all those things, but I do know that there are possibilities there.
Any other board discussion? Trustee Harris.
One other question. Is there a cap on the amount of money that we're eligible to distribute in a period of time? I thought there was, but I just wanted to get a refresher on that.
If I don't believe there's a cap, but if we can't give money away that we don't have.
Agreed.
I mean, if there's not an increment to be used, we can't use it. If there is an increment to be used, we can use it. Is that right, Claire? I said, if there isn't an increment, but I don't know if we put a cap on for a year, did we?
I know in our project plan, we do have a dollar amount that we estimated as the amount that we would spend in total on the grant and loan program, although I know it doesn't need to be a hard rule, I don't believe it.
Which kind of begs the question. I think I probably know the answer, but if the board were to approve this grant, we do have the money for that, right?
So, that would be a good question.
Yeah, that would be a really good question. That answer your question, Trustee Harris?
Yes, thank you.
Any other board discussion? Hearing none, there's a motion and a second to approve the grant in the amount of $10,000 under the Facade Improvement Program. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Unanimously granted. Thank you, Lynn, for coming here.
Thank you.
You're more than welcome. Have good luck next weekend.
Well, last year it was over 3,000 people came to our Oktoberfest.
Well, in a year from now, they'll have a beautiful parking lot to walk.
They'll have a beautiful parking lot, exactly. Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, moving on. Action regarding the approval of the corridor study is item number 5. Trevor wrote an excellent memo, kind of encapsulating, some of the comments we've received back from the committees. I don't think there's anything in the commentary that would require a change or a modification to the corridor study. Do you see anything in there from the comments received that we'd have to modify anything in the corridor study?
No.
I mean, I think they're good comments to look at the corridor study, with a certain kind of vision. But I don't think there's anything that says we've got to change one thing to a different thing. So I'll entertain a motion to approve the corridor study. Trustee Green?
Move to approve.
For a second. Trustee Dart? Any discussion? A lot of work went into it. A lot of input went into it. I think it came out very well. Our consultants, I think, did a wonderful job putting it all together and putting it together in a usable fashion. Trustee Green.
I was just going to point out that it's an awesome vision for the village, and I don't see it being in conflict with anything, for example, gas stations or brew pubs, because it creates an overarching vision, not a dictum of this will go here and this will go there. It's more conceptual in nature. So I see as the changes we're making fit into that comprehensive plan very well and open up additional facilities that could go there to better provide for our residents. And I think the overarching theme is to better provide for our residential community. And we've got a niche with small business and small community businesses, and I think it makes it easier for them as well.
Well, and that raises a very valid point, which is it's a vision and it's a conceptual plan. I mean, we can't dictate to anybody that they do what the plan says, but it creates an opportunity for us to approach and try to create partnerships and synergies with people and businesses to try to make it reality, in terms of a conceptual plan. I know it's been, I think at least some people have been receptive to it, I think, when we've approached them and said, this is the vision. Some people haven't been so receptive. But, they own the property, but it gives us something we can sit in front of property owners and business owners and say, what do you think? So I think that it's good from that visioning. Because otherwise you approach people with nothing in mind. So I think at least it's a very proactive way to engage, businesses and our community partners to try to make the concept and vision reality. Any other board discussion on the approval? Trustee Rafter.
The third bullet says, I agree with incorporating the study as an amendment to the comprehensive plan. Right now, that really only creates a vision for the village, but at least that's a start. And I agree, it's a start. And I'm very excited to see phase two of this, and not necessarily of another plan, but what we do with this information and proactively market our fine village to businesses who I'm sure would love to be here.
Excellent comment. Any other board discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The corridor study is approved. Item number six, action regarding ordinance 2015-17, amending section 7.045 of chapter 7, public nuisances relating to the height of tree limbs. I think we had this up for discussion previously. And if I remember right, the amendments necessary to comport with the or comply with some of the new standards and guidelines that came out, is that true, Chris?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, that's standard practice, standard heights.
Okay, so we just need to put it in ordinance fashion. Is there a motion to approve ordinance number 2015-17? Trustee Rafter.
I'll move to approve.
Is there a second? Trustee Harris. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ordinance adopted. Action regarding implement funding of $500,000 for annual street maintenance in the public works operating budget. Once again, I think in terms of making that final decision, that's a budget decision. But I think what you're looking for, Craig, if I'm not misunderstanding, is the transfer of the fire protection charge, which has to be part of the rate case.
That's correct.
So we need to do that sooner. If that's the vision we're going to have at budget time, when we talk about it at budget time, to create the flexibility for that, we need to take action now on the fire protection charge.
Yes, that's really what it boils down to.
Because if we wait till budget time and try to do it after that, we'll be too late.
It's too late.
Okay. So, Craig, why don't you give us a quick overview of what's it? I see that we're talking about potentially a phased-in transfer of that charge.
What we brought to Public Works initially was increasing the funding for street maintenance to the $500,000 level, if that was possible. We currently fund it at $225,000. And we brought it forward at that time to start the dialogue on it, and specifically because of the water utility rate case, that if to make you aware that you do have the fire protection charge, that you could transfer part of that to a direct bill or all of the remaining balance to a direct bill, that would, if we kept the same tax levy, that would allow us to reach the $500,000 level for street maintenance. This is the routine year after year annual street maintenance, and it would allow us to catch up on some streets that need reclaiming and curb repair that we know are going to be extended out a considerable time period at the current funding level, but we can speed that process up if we have more funds. And we've discussed it, I think, in three board meetings and talked about various options. Well, what is in your packet is we did a little more checking with the Public Service Commission to look at options with them in terms of the fire protection charge. And in particular, looking at it because we know that the rate increase for 2016 is going to be a significant rate increase because of the Green Bay Met sewer charges and our Central Brown County Water Authority rate increase because of the refunding of the bonds and so forth with our major project. And in thinking about that, we looked at the idea of what if we staged the fire protection charge transfer over time. It is a feature that the Public Service Commission would allow us to do. We have to include it in our rate case in terms of what we would want to do and when we would want to do it, but it would be part of the rate case, and then we would be able to, as this example shows, for example, if we transferred $1.75 in 2017, that could be included in the rate case. And then if we transferred the remaining $1.75 in 2018 or even 2019, that can be included in the rate case. Really what our goal is to either now or over a period of time allocate additional funds for street maintenance. Whether we do it in a year or two or three, long term, it's what's needed. How we get there is up to you. But this would defer some of the increase to 2017, 2018, or later. And after 2016, I don't think we're going to see those significant rate increases in our other utilities. So in 2016, we do get hit with a significant rate increase. In 17, we know we're going to have a rate increase from Green Bay Met, but it's going to be probably no more than half of what it is now, and it might be less than that. So we shouldn't see a water rate increase of any significance. So this does allow us to kind of spread it out over time. So we put this in as an example to show you an option. You do have, for 2016, you do have the option to increase street funding by allocating either reserves or increasing the funding as part of the budget or whatever avenue you would choose. So we could start on the process of doing more street repairs, but that's a budget issue. That would be decided through that process. And if you recall, last year we did that. We allocated some money for some additional streets using some of the funds that we had available. So you have that option. Those are things that can be discussed as we get into budget. Really, right now, we need to file the rate case. So we need to make a decision if you want to use the fire protection charge, and if so, how you would want to use it.
Well, if memory serves, we're maybe the only or one of the few communities in the county that don't have all of the fire protection charge on the utility bill.
That's correct. The only other community that doesn't already direct bill 100% of the fire protection charge is Howard, and they don't bill $51,000 of it. And I didn't check on it to find out why, but I believe that covers the municipal facilities. They decided to leave that on a tax levy. But that's the only one.
Trustee Green.
I just have a question about that, because how does Green Bay have such a low fire protection charge? If they're billing 100%, it's only
$2.97. It's really the economy of scale. Green Bay being a very large community, and it's a couple factors. One is a large part of their system is paid for. It was built many, many years ago, whereas we're paying for a lot of our Central Brown County Water Authority system because it's relatively new, so our debt service is higher, results in a higher water bill. Their water bill is lower than ours for that reason. The other thing is their industrial base. They have such a large industrial base that shares in the cost of the water utility. And so their fire protection charge is lower.
Okay, so that brings me to my other question. On your options for consideration, it would direct bill the remaining to residential three-quarter inch water meter. When we did this before, we also billed the commercials and the nonprofits and the larger water meters. So we'd be doing that too, not just the residential meter.
Yes, we just always use the example of a three-quarter inch meter.
Okay. And how does the Schwab and I keep theirs at $3.23? Okay, so that's why theirs is less. I don't know. Ours just seems really high. The only one higher than us is, De Pere, once everything's moved over, in Bellevue.
Well, Central Brown County Water Authority members are all about the same. Yeah, there's a slight difference between them. I think one of them is $3 lower than us, another is $2 lower, and the rest are about the same as us. We have a little more debt service now because of our projects. As we go forward and we look at our other projects that are coming up over the next few years, we're going to be looking at that. That's going to be probably the major question, how much can we afford to spend. The debt service is showing up on our billing too.
So as our debt service goes down, the fire protection charge could go down, but we can only do it then in a PSC rate.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Trustee Raffer.
Craig, first of all, thanks for all you've done on this. It's a lot of work. Is it true, is it still true, or do we know that it's true that if we request the rate case, an increased rate, that, and if it's approved, can we rescind it later or no?
No.
We can't.
Okay. We can't afford to rescind it. We need the rate increase because we will lose money in 2016 if we don't. What we can do, and we are requesting, is a lower rate. we're requesting a lower rate of return than the maximum we could request. And the reason we're doing that is because we've talked about that philosophy over the last several years. We would be eligible for about a 6.25% rate of return, but that means our rates are even higher. Mm-hmm. So we're actually looking at in our utilities about half of the rate of return we normally look at, so that we, again, keep those rate increases as small as we can.
Yeah, I should have asked it differently. But with the fire protection amount that we are proposing goes direct bill, if they approve that and we don't want it later on, we can't say no, correct?
Oh, well, that's a different case. Yeah, that you could. The water rate itself, when we get that, we'll have the opportunity to review it and comment on it.
Okay.
We would have the same fire protection charge. Let's say that you approve this in this fashion or something similar to this, you get the rate case back and you decide you want to change it, yeah, you'd be able to change that. Because it doesn't affect the rate. It's just the implementation of the fire protection charge. So we could change it later.
But the rate's still going up and it's...
The rate is still going up, but we could change this direct bill if you wanted to later, before we do the final approval of the rate.
My concern over the whole thing is, I think that we know we're going to need money, and we're putting the cart before the horse.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to intrude. I'm Todd Taves from Elders, and I'm actually here for your TIF meeting, but I'm thinking I'm hearing something here that could be problematic for you, and I just want to make sure I'm understanding what you said, Craig. So the village has historically taken the hydrant rental charge, essentially, you've levied for that, and you're talking about now placing some of that on the utility bill, with the idea being that that then lowers your general fund expenditures and you backfill that with the additional street expenses. In the 2013 state budget, they actually made a change to the levy limit law. Are you aware of that?
Yeah.
In terms of the negative adjustment, so if you implement the user charge, you'll have to reduce your levy by that same amount?
We have enough.
In your debt service?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt, but I heard that, and I've seen some other folks wander into that without understanding the implications. So I just wanted to mention that since I was sitting here and heard that.
We've had a fair bit of dialogue on that, and finally understand Claire's point on how we can do that.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you've got that built in. Sorry for the interruption.
Thank you.
Well, I'm sorry that we made you sit here for all because you're here on 9.
Correct.
I mean, is it okay if we finish this discussion and then I'll bump you up? Well, there's only one resolution to adopt it. I think that's going to be pretty contentious. All right, we'll finish up this discussion. Trustee Rafferty.
So my concern about the whole thing is if we're going to be charging, we already have some of the higher water rates in the area. And I've said this before, perception is reality. People are looking to move into Alloway. We already have high rates. Why do we want to make them higher? Without a capital improvement plan, a specific plan to know how much we need to spend over time on specific projects to go ahead and improve this rate increase, I think it's probably not a good thing. And if it comes to a point where we do need more money for street maintenance, which I have no doubt we will, I would think we need to decide at that point in time, do we get it out of property taxes or do we get it another way? And if we have to go do another rate increase or a rate case, so be it. But if I'm a resident of Alloway and you're going to increase or we're going to increase our water rates by, or we need an increase of $40 per household, $40 per household and a $3,000 property tax bill, is a whole lot less of an impact than $40 on an already high water bill, if that makes sense.
Trustee Dare.
Okay, that doesn't make sense, but it does. You're right. I mean, I agree with you. I remember moving to Alloway and being, wow, this is really reasonable water rates compared to what I was paying in Green Bay, and that is like 25 years ago, and now we, exceed them by a lot. So,
double.
Yeah, I just can't see putting it on the wall. I mean, it's just incredibly expensive for water right now.
You know, but the other side of the equation is after you know, public safety, fire and police, and I think the roads and the infrastructure are probably our number one priority. You know, we have lots of roads that are in disrepair, and the schedule, if we keep with the current funding levels, although we're not deciding that tonight, it's just going to take forever to get to these things. And the residents are going to wind up having to pay for it one way or the other. Either we transfer the fire protection charge, create some potential give in the budget that we could then fund, you know, for street maintenance, or we raise taxes to do that. But it's got to come from somewhere. And the thing with the fire protection charge, I mean, one, we're about the only municipality who doesn't all have it on a utility bill. And the thing I like about transferring the fire protection charge is then the not-for-profits are going to be paying for it as well, because they don't pay taxes into the general fund. And we have, in the village, we have quite a few nonprofits, and that helps them share the burden of funding other things that the village needs, kind of in an indirect way. That's one of the attractive features in my mind, is it treats everybody equally. And everybody, because right now the nonprofits are getting off because, you know, the general fund pays for the other half of the fire protection charge. Trustee Harris.
I agree with Trustee Rafter about the perception is reality, because you're going to get a higher bill 12 times a year. You're going to get reminded, and you don't see it as much. It's not as visible to you in your property tax bill. But either way, we still have to have it paid. I think by transferring it, whether it's step by step or just one fell swoop, it allows us the flexibility at budget time to reduce taxes, fill that with extra street repair, or fund some other project. It gives us that flexibility. That's why I'm leaning towards it would be a better thing for us to do with this rate case. And as it has been presented, we do have the opportunity of saying no to it before the final approval. We just need to make a decision on it, and so that it can get through the application process.
Well, and the other thing, I mean, you know, ideally, since street maintenance is such a major priority, I mean, this extra, was it $250,000 a year, you know, ideally could be utilized for street maintenance. But as long as we don't go crazy and do other things and remain relatively conservative, that $250,000 float could be used for other emergency situations that the village has to deal with. It doesn't necessarily have to wind up in street maintenance year after year if we have another emergency. You know, it's kind of a fund almost within the budget that we could tap into. Claire, do you see any problems if we transfer, you know, the fire protection charge? I mean, does that create any problems on your end? Or
no, I think, I mean, everything that we've discussed, we have adequate room in the levy, so we don't have to worry about taking it off.
Can you explain that a little further, what that exactly means? Where would the levy come into play?
Well, like Todd was saying, it's just, and it's easier to explain when you have the levy worksheet in front of you, but you start with your base levy and then you have a certain number of adjustments. So if we transfer this from the tax levy to direct bill, that $275,000, we have to take that off of our approved levy, which is like around $6 million right now. So that would come off right away, and that would be our new base. But then we have other adjustments, such as the debt service, where debt issued after 2005, the principal and interest payments, you can add that back on.
Well, we have enough to make up for it.
Yeah, and we use about a tenth of what we could use.
So long story short, if we do the transfer, it does create ultimately $275,000 float in the budget.
For which we can use that money for anything?
Right, yeah.
We don't have to use it for street maintenance, even though it's coming as a direct bill from the utility.
Right.
just opens up space in the budget.
It doesn't say we have to use it for it. Let's decide that in the budget.
Like I said, as long as we don't get crazy and start sticking it into perpetual cost items that are going to hit the budget every single year, you know, then we do have that flexibility, and we don't have to increase taxes to do street maintenance, or some other emergency situation comes up. You take 75 off of the what you get for street maintenance and apply it to the emergency situation, all without increasing the tax levy.
Can we reduce
granted the
tax levy?
The resident.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
So we could use it to reduce taxes as well.
Claire, I'll tell us on budget time. There's usually a little problem with I mean, you know, because we've always tried to keep the increase as low as we can, and sometimes that's not at least under the old law anyway. It wasn't the wisest thing to do because you kind of shoot yourself in the foot the next year. But I think we've been pretty good at keeping the tax increase rate, you know, pretty low, even though we kind of shot ourselves in the foot a little bit because you didn't have that much more money to spend the next year. Not that you should spend the money, and that's kind of the philosophy the board's taken. But now that new law, I think, kind of changes that a little bit, and you can do some carryover. Or
we could have been spending that money on roads, though.
That's true. No.
Craig, thank you for putting the information from 2008 and 2009 in here, because I hate when we move something and we call it a charge and it's tax. It's tax, it's tax, it's tax. Especially if we're not talking about decreasing the levy. It's just a tax. We've just moved it to the bill, which actually I'm kind of okay with, and here's why. Moving it over, and then it's up for debate what we do for that money, because you have a valid point about we could go down conceivably. But the average residential property would see a decrease of about $4.50 overall at that point. Is that still the same? Because this way we wrap in the jail. Yeah, and we wrap in the nonprofits. Because right now our residents are bearing 100% of the burden. And we have, at least last time I heard, the largest percentage of nonprofit property per municipality of any other in the state of Wisconsin. I'm not against nonprofits, but that's a large burden for our residents to bear. I mean, more burdensome than most others. And I don't like that word, but it does cost shift onto them. We also have a state prison that isn't paying in towards this because they don't pay taxes to the general levy. So this shifts it to the prison and the nonprofit. So overall, our residents actually saw a decrease in the overall bill. If we don't suck that money up and it goes somewhere else. Now, if we're going to have to borrow for it and do it anyway, here's where I struggle with that, because to me, it all is taxes, because one way or another we pay for it. But do our residents still see a net decrease is my biggest question. And do we have a clue how much that is, and is it still around approximately $4.50 per year?
Yeah, I didn't do an update of that, but it's going to be in that range, $5, somewhere in that range. You know.
So it's property? Still a net decrease for residents. If it's not sucked up for something else. And that's where I think heeding Randy's warning is huge about it can't be used for ongoing things in new projects that are then ongoing maintenance, because then that just adds, and then it just compounds. So using that for things we would have had to borrow for anyway, at least then people don't have interest on that money, and at least we wrap in what I consider all of our residents, which is the prison and the nonprofits and our households. So that's why I really struggle with this one, but it's just kind of a different perspective.
Any other board? Craig.
Just to comment on Trustee Raptor's question about the capital plan. When we looked at this, we did put the streets into that table to come up with numbers. And that's where we came up with the $500,000. But the order of the streets was simply alphabetical. Mm-hmm. But our goal was to try to address the maintenance, what we call the routine maintenance and repairs, in a period of 7 or 8 or 9 years. And that's how we came up with the $500,000. Yeah. Since then, we've revised that and put the streets in the order of how we would do them.
Okay.
So when we get to the budget, you'll see the next 5 years laid out and what their costs are. And it matches what we have here, but that's how we got to the $500,000 level. From my standpoint, looking at public works, I knew that at some point we were going to have to put this on the table and address this issue of increasing the funding, because we're not going to be able to maintain the streets long term unless we do that. This was appeared to be an opportune time to start that dialogue because of the water utility rate issue. But no matter what you do here, keep in mind we're going to have to move forward with an increase that's significant at some point in time, or we're going to be looking at down the road the type of reconstruction that we're into right now to catch up. This is to keep us on track. Yeah. And, you know, it's a hard choice. There's no question about it, and it's costly. But this is one of the realities that we have to address at some point in time. We just have to. So that's why I am stressing this, because we're going to have to address it at some point, or long term we're going to be back in the same situation.
Well, it sounds like we have more flexibility than I thought we had. If we can apply for the rate case, get it approved, and then say we don't want to use it, you're saying we don't have to use it.
And it'll probably be at this point, given the schedule, it'll probably be in December we'll be looking at that and talking about it. So it'll be even after the budget time. Okay. I mean, it might be during budget, but it's most likely going to be after budget.
Okay.
And then you'll have a chance to review the whole rate case before we accept it and move forward.
Okay. And last stupid question.
I
know I've exceeded my one-year policy on that. But so the residential water bill will actually go down if we approve that, is what I mean.
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
I was getting excited. I didn't think so. But.
And tell me if I understand this right. The net that residents will be paying if moving the fire levy to the water bill, if we don't suck it up, and I hate when dollars are there that aren't specified.
That was my
then
concern.
It's way too easy for them to get sucked up, which is my term, into the budget, and then become this self-fulfilling thing that drives me crazy. If we don't, it's a net decrease to our residents. Am I right about that? If we use
over
it,
the tax,
we keep that tax levy like it is, and we move them over, it's a net increase to our residents. So
what's happening is, because the fire protection charge becomes, or is on the basis of water meters, there's more water meters than there are private properties, because the tax-exempt properties are also metered.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're applying that cost to the tax-exempts that otherwise don't get that charge. That's what's happening. So
the prison, the nonprofits, the schools, so it's only a net decrease if we don't suck the money up into something else.
Right.
The net decrease comes in the combination of taxes and water. I mean, it's coming. It's just in a different format. But yeah, it would be.
That's why if we keep the tax levy the same and we put this on the water bill, it's an increase across the board, everybody.
Right.
Very hard to explain.
It is. It is when we've all been through. Yeah, it just.
Okay. So we have to decide, do we want to implement it right away or do we want to phase it in? Is that also a question?
Do we have to decide that?
To go to the PSC?
Yes.
Yeah, we need to move forward with the rate case.
The idea of phasing or completely at once, we have to decide that?
We should be filing that with the application, yes. Whatever we want to do should be in it. We could change it later if we want to, but we should have it in the filing.
Yeah, it makes sense to be able to phase it in, so it's not that big of a hit in 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's $1.75 per year, but $1.75 over two is better than what would it be, $3.50?
So at $1.75 compared to the if you did it all at once, how much are you losing in those couple of years as you phase it in?
About 140 each year.
Is it?
Yeah, we just won.
1/3 of it.
Well,
so if we think it's going to get 250, then we're getting 1/3 of it.
Yeah.
We're losing 2/3 of.
$1.75 is half of the remaining fire protection charge. So if you do it in two increments, a total $3.50 would be over
2 years.
2 years, so but you're only missing half of that amount for the first year.
So if we need a certain amount for road maintenance next year and we're only funding it in part,
well, we have enough.
Through that, where will we get the other money, and they'll come in the form of.
But we don't have to be as aggressive that first year in the street maintenance. I mean, you're not going to get the full $500,000. It'd be less.
What we were looking at and what we prepared was about $375,000 worth of street maintenance and repairs. So I was going to be submitting a supplemental budget request for that difference between the $225 and the $375. You can elect to do it or not do it, but that's how we were going to approach it. So that if you were willing to allocate those funds, we would have the projects ready to go. If we don't, they're deferred till the next year.
And I noticed in your memo, you've also got a note about there may be other sources of funding available besides fire protection and tax levies, but we still don't know what stadium monies can be earmarked for.
Right, you don't know the answer to that. That's right, and that was what I was thinking of. So you might have three different options, possibly.
Grant monies? We see any potential there? No.
Okay. Any other discussion? Otherwise, I'll make a motion that we transfer $175 of the fire protection charge to direct bill in 2017 and the remaining $175 to the direct bill in 2018. Is there a second?
A second with a clarification. I think it's instead of 2018, it's not $175, it's just the balance, which is about, I don't know if it has to be.
Yeah, it is. And that's probably okay. A good point. I'll rephrase the motion that we transfer one half of the remaining fire protection charge to the direct bill in 2017 and the other half in 2018. Trustee Green.
And that's with the understanding we can turn it down if we find other options and don't need it?
That's my understanding. Okay. Any discussion on that motion? Did you second it? You seconded it.
I thought I was.
He seconded, but is her, are her comments in the?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so motion been made and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion approved. We'll stay in order. We'll do resolution 2015-29 approved. I'm sorry. Item number 8, resolution 2015-30, thanking Rob Giel for his years of service on the Park Rec and Forestry Committee. Do we have a motion for the adoption of that resolution? Trustee Harris. Is there a second? Trustee Green. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Resolution of gratitude is approved. Now we will move into number 9. Action regarding consideration of resolution 2015-29 approving an amendment to the project plan and boundaries of the tax incremental district number 1 in the building.
This is what I'm really here for. Sorry for the interruption, but I hear levy limits and my ears perk up, and I know that's a very complicated law, so I'll give your staff credit for understanding that, because that's not a well-understood provision.
But I appreciate the unsolicited jumping up and asking the question, because if they hadn't thought about it, then we'd like to know about it.
Exactly.
So what I'm here for this evening is the first of 4 permitted boundary amendments to your tax increment district. This was a district was created in 2011. You had some discussion about it earlier in the context of your grant and loan program. And the document, which I believe you were provided a copy of in your agenda packet, is an amended project plan. It looks very much like the original project plan for the district, because this isn't a large change. But what I'd like to do is just call your attention to a few of the key exhibits so that you understand what we are changing from the original district. And the first key exhibit would be the map on page 8. There's actually a series of 3 maps, page 8, 9, and 10, with 9 and 10 being a larger blow-up of the parcels we're adding. But in total, we're proposing to add 7 parcels, not originally included in the district's boundaries, and now putting them in the boundaries so you would have the ability to undertake project costs. And I think I'd defer to Trevor maybe just to make a couple remarks on the logic of those particular parcels as it relates to your planning effort.
All of these parcels were identified. A lot of the parcels were identified in that corridor study that we just approved Starting from the northeast, that parcel in Brown there, that's currently Webster Heights pool house. That was identified. There's one of two scenarios in the corridor study that they identified that as a potential redevelopment site for commercial or mixed use development. Knowing that pool house in existence now is currently underutilized for its potential use. Then going south, the next parcel being added is the U.S. Bank, which kind of fits in with what the corridor study kind of highlighted as the all-corner square or the downtown type development. Then going west, we hit the used car development, and that was, again, identified in the corridor study as having potential. There is a pending development for that site in the works, but that development, as it is being presented now, only occupies half. So that would give us the opportunity to develop the other half as we desired. And then going south, the corridor study really identified the Mariner as a place for potential redevelopment. There has been talks of redeveloping that site with other developers. However, with the current market as it is, that development cannot take place. With the TIF boundaries having to be contiguous, we also absorbed in there the Shank building and the Truex building as well.
The other aspect of the plan I'd remark on is the portion related to the financial feasibility study. We have under state law a requirement to demonstrate that the projects you may undertake are financially feasible. Now, this is a very large district. The approach to this district has been that rather than going forward and executing a large program of improvements on a specified plan, it was really to have the framework in place so that as development and redevelopment opportunities come forward, you've got the architecture in place in terms of the TIF mechanism to be able to provide assistance where it's warranted. So the numbers we're going to look at starting on page 26 are in some sense a hypothetical because we're making assumptions as to future growth. But we will only realize the growth as actual projects come forward. But if you look at that exhibit, what we show on the left-hand side is what's actually happened since the district was implemented in 2011, first construction year to count it, which was 2012. And you have just over $12.3 million of incremental value actually on the ground right now. The rest of the table is the same assumptions that were used in the original plan, except that we've added another $1.5 million in assumed value to reflect that we've got additional parcels now in the district with potential. Those assumptions flow over to the table on page 27, which is the increment projection. So what we're doing here is just taking, we're calculating that annual increase to the increment. We're holding the tax rate flat, and the important numbers are the green column on the right, which is a projection of the revenue that you would bring into the district if this set of assumptions were to be borne out. Now, the 2015 budget year was the first year you actually collected increment, so that first number in the column, 277,851, is actual. So that's money you now have in the tax increment district that can be used to fund the grant and revolving loan program and any other expenditures you choose to make. The last exhibit I would remark on is on page 28, which is the cash flow. And this gets to the financial feasibility. And what we're showing here, again, for sake of illustration, is if you were to go ahead in the year 2018 and borrow for all of the public improvements that are identified in the plan as being things you may want to fund over time, and also paid all of the development incentives that are included within the project plan, what this indicates is that on a cumulative basis, the TID would continue to run a positive fund balance, and also by the year 2035 would be in a position to close. And again, this is a hypothetical. You'll actually decide what projects you want to undertake at appropriate points in time. And the other thing I would mention is that in addition to adding the seven parcels to the district, the other thing we've done is we've bumped up the amount of incentives or loans or grants that you may choose to provide. In the original project plan, it was at $1 million, and it's now at $1.5 million. So that's the other change we've made. As was mentioned in your earlier discussion about the Lorelei, you do have the ability to flex funds between different categories within the plan. So if that program proves successful and something that is helping to achieve your redevelopment and development objectives, and you choose to fund that at a greater level, with the trade-off being you spend less on other project cost categories, that's perfectly acceptable to do that as well. So that's the scope of the change, basically adding seven parcels, adding another $500,000 to the plan for loans and grants. And if you've got any other questions, I'd be happy to answer those. Otherwise, if this is approved tonight, I will go to the Joint Review Board, and that would be the final step in the approval process for the amendment.
Excellent. Thank you. And Board, have any questions? Trustee Harris.
A couple of wording questions in terms of the document on page 5. Towards the bottom, in item 3, in summary of boundings,
mm-hmm.
on evaluation purposes, as of preceding January, so January 1st, 2015, or it would be as of January 1st, 2016?
It would be, because this is being done prior to October 1st, that's the cutoff date under the law, we revert back to the 1st of this year.
Okay.
So anything, you know, I understand there's not been any changes on those parcels this year, but if there were to be a value change, that would be reflected then in terms of next year's increment,
that's
because the base will be as of the 1st of this
that's
year.
That's right, we've got the October 1st deadline. Okay,
right.
So following that logic, the same thing at the second line of page 6, that also should be stay as 2015 because before October 1st?
That's correct.
Okay. And then the last one is back to page 5. In item 1, the second bullet, should we change the corridor study date? That was this year, not 2013.
Yeah, we can make that change.
Thank you.
Well, and then following up with Trustee Harris's comments, because I'd mark that on the actual resolution itself. Territory being added shall become part of the district effective as of January 1, 2015. So that is accurate.
That is accurate.
Okay, because I noted that too. All right, any other questions before Trustee Green?
Streetscaping and landscaping, we have two major redevelopment projects going on, Riverside and Webster. So you mentioned we had latitude with where monies go, so this could potentially increase the revenues available for those improvements on both those corridors, the park contiguous with the TID.
The amendment would increase the revenues available to the extent that you have development occurring on these additional parcels.
Okay, thank you.
Any other board questions? Hearing none, thank you.
You're welcome.
Then do I have a motion concerning the adoption of Resolution 2015-29, approving the amendment to the project plan and boundaries of the TID district? Trustee Dart.
I so move.
There a second concerning the approval? Trustee Rafter.
A second.
Any further discussion by the board? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The resolution is adopted. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right, item number 11, convened in closed session to the under Wisconsin Statute 19.851C, considering employment, promotion, compensation, or performance evaluation data of any public employee over which the governmental body has jurisdiction or exercises responsibility, in particular to discuss performance evaluation, potential wage increases. Also going to closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 19.85(1)(e) to deliberate or negotiate the purchase of public properties, investing of public funds, or conducting other specified public business whenever competitive or bargaining reasons require a closed session to discuss potential land acquisition. Is there a motion to go into closed session? Trustee Rafter.
Mm-hmm.
A second. Trustee Harris. Roll call. Trustee Harris.
Aye.
Trustee Atwood.
Aye.
Trustee Rafter.
Aye.
President Gass says yes. Trustee Dart.
Aye.
Trustee Green.
Aye.
Trustee Dennis.
Aye.
We stand in closed session.